So about 2 weeks ago, a local newspaper in suburban St. Louis, Missouri, printed a story that revealed a reason why a teenage girl may have committed suicide a year ago. And the details were so disturbing, the story caught fire around the country. 13-year-old Megan Meyer had been chatting on MySpace with someone she thought was this cute young guy who liked her. After a few weeks of friendliness, the boy turned on Megan, calling her names and reportedly told her that the world would be a better place without her. It was enough to send Megan into despair, and she hanged herself a short time later. Now, more than a month later, after that, her parents found out that the MySpace boy wasn't actually real. What bothers people in this story is who made that boy up. According to a police report, the parents of one of Megan's classmates, a girl who reportedly had a falling out with Megan, they were the folks who made up this online character. Now, no criminal charges have been filed against the family, and that appears to have outraged people who live in this community where it happened and all over the net. Some of them are retaliating against the family behind the fake MySpace profile by publishing the family's names, address, phone numbers, and work information. Steve Poken is a columnist for the Suburban Journals of St. Charles County, Missouri. He broke the story behind Megan Meyer's death, and he joins me now. Hey, Steve.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Sure.
I want to start by saying that NPR is not reporting the name of the family who created this MySpace profile, this fake profile. Has your paper published the family's name, and what kind of discussions were there about that decision?
We have not. That's always subject to change as circumstances change. If there are, in fact, eventually charges filed, we would reconsider that. Or if the family is sued or sue somebody, we would certainly reconsider that.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you talked to the family in question?
Prior to the first story, I spoke to the mother briefly. She didn't have much to say. She was apologetic. She said she'd love to talk to me, but she couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she was advised that she shouldn't, and I asked who advised her, and she didn't want to comment on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was fully aware of our intentions. I said, well, if you're unwilling to talk to me, we're going to rely heavily on this police report. I'd much rather talk to you. But I do have this police report in which you talk about the MySpace account and what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And she then said that the police report was filled with errors and that they had been trying to get those errors corrected.
So they have not admitted to doing this?
They have not spoken publicly about it. They sent the other family, the Myers family, a letter in which they said they felt for their grief and their pain and they understood what they were going through.
Okay. Now, you first published your story on this case November 13th. How immediate, and describe the reaction that came from this story.
It was the first story was published on November 11th.
No, I'm sorry, the 11th.
Okay. And, there was, I've been a reporter for 30 years, and I've never experienced anything like this, and I doubt that I ever will again. With my column is my email address, and I was inundated with emails. And then we, from our website, people can either post on our website or send us letters to the editor. And we were getting letters to the editor from, and we're a local newspaper from across the nation. And our website hits were just off the chart.
What were people saying? Were they mostly just disturbed by the facts of this story, that adults would create this fake MySpace account and say these disparaging remarks about this young girl that led to her suicide? Or were they angry about the family and wanting to out them?
I think there was outrage at the family. There was outrage that how could this not be a crime?
Mm-hmm.
And then there were people who were upset with us for not naming the other family.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a lot of response was people for people who were very grateful that we ran the story and we brought this issue to light.
What is going on in that community? I mean, some of the reporting on this, it just sounds like this has touched so many people. It's angered. It's created so much anger and sadness. Can you explain what's going on? The families still live quite close to each other, correct?
They do. They live on the same block, which is just a real, just a real tense, uncomfortable situation.
Mm-hmm.
There have been acts of vandalism against the other family, the family down the block.
Uh-huh.
Father of Megan, his name is Ron Meyer, he's currently facing a charge of misdemeanor vandalism for allegedly driving his truck and tearing up their lawn. The other family has installed security cameras on their house.
Oh, my.
To thwart that.
Let me ask you this. Has this prompted a larger conversation about the law and the internet and this kind of nebulous space where something like this could happen?
Yeah, absolutely. The community, the city where this happened is in Darden Prairie, and a city of 7,000 people. And the mayor read the story and immediately contacted the city attorney and said, "What can we do?" And they're a fourth-class city; they're a small city, so it's not a lot. But they immediately did that. They gathered and they have passed a law making cyberspace harassment the best they could do is a Class B misdemeanor, up to 90 days in jail, up to a $500 fine. But they did that. And subsequently, the local state lawmakers have said that, you know, we're going to look at this in the coming session, which begins in January. We're going to take a close look at this and see what we can do.
Hmm. And what's the next step as far as you're concerned in this story, how this is unfolding?
Well, the local prosecutor is still looking at the case. Apparently, there was some. He says, you know, he's looking at it for the first time. He didn't get a good look at it. There was apparently some miscommunication between the sheriff's department, which investigated it, and his office. And he's looking at it. So I think the next step would be when he says he is or is not going to file charges against the family down the street.
What's it been like to cover this story? For you.
It's been an adventure.
Yeah,
I spent a lot of time trying to go through my emails, and you know, I try to do the best I can in terms of devoting my time to people such as yourself who want to talk to me.
Yeah,
and
well,
in continuing to do my job, I have the support of my editors to try to answer media requests.
It's a tough question. It's a tough story. Thanks for covering it. Steve Pokin is a columnist for the Suburban Journals of St. Charles County, Missouri. He wrote the story behind Megan Meyer's death. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you very much.
It's interesting, Rachel. We had a couple people on our blog try to out the family. And as you mentioned, it's NPR's policy not to do so. Stay with the Bryant Park Project. We're back in 60.